Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome to the series on the Sahabiyat, the female companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the previous episode, I spoke about the life and legacy of Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. And we spoke about Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha as the exemplary model of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's teachings and sunnah. And we find that Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha's character, her personality, is a sort of benchmark, and it is the ideal figure for all women of all ages and backgrounds to emulate. And what we will now aim to do in this series is explore some of the other remarkable and inspiring sahabiyat and see how each of them reflect different aspects of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha's personality and character. Some with respect to their knowledge and wisdom, some with respect to their strong and assertive personalities, and others with respect to their worship and their deep concern for raising and nurturing a generation of strong and pious Muslims. So today we will begin with a woman whose nickname was Khatibatun Nisa, the ambassador or the spokesperson for the women in Medina. And this is Sayyida Asma bint Yazid As-Sakan radiallahu anha. Sayyida Asma radiallahu anha was among the sahabiyat of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam who were known for their intelligence, their courage, and their deep devotion to learning and spreading the message of Islam to the people around her. And this will be a running theme amongst the Sahabiyat that we will follow in this series. So her father was Yazid bin Sakan radiallahu anhu, and he was actually among the Shuhada at the Battle of Uhud. And her mother was Sa'ad bint Khuzaym al-Ashhaliyah. So Sayyida Asma radiallahu anha was known among her people as Khatibatun Nisa, the spokesperson of the women, because she was known all over Medina for her eloquence, her ability to articulate her sentiments and her concerns, and she would go on to literally become a representative of the women in the company of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the women in Medina knew that if they needed any of their questions or their inquiries answered, even if it was about a very personal or intimate matter, they would turn to Sayyida Asma bint Yazid radiallahu anha, knowing very well that she was always ready and courageous enough to go into the blessed presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and present everyone's questions alongside her own. She was also known to be an incredibly steadfast and pious woman, always seeking for new and the most updated ways to practice Islam. And again, that's very similar to Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, whom we spoke about in the first episode as being very inquisitive, very analytical, and very courageous in terms of seeking knowledge. So how did she go about doing that? Well, Sayyida Asma radiallahu anha would try her best to always remain in the physical company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as much as she could, because she always wanted to hear the words of the Quran and the legal rulings of the Sharia, or the nasiha and advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly from him. And so sometimes she would find a way to offer her services in the house of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. Or sometimes you could actually find her sitting in the majlis of the Sahaba when they were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And again, her objective was not to just be around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the sake of it, but again, just like Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, she would be listening very intently, very curiously, And her purpose was always to learn any new ahkam, any new revelation from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, any new idea or understanding about a religious matter. And then she would return to the women of Medina and then teach what she had heard or observed. So there is a famous incident where Sayyida Asma radiallahu anha arrives at one of these halaqas of the Sahaba, and she is given permission from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to sit with them and attend this gathering. And now again, Sayyida Asma radiallahu anha was the representative for all of the women in Medina. So she comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this occasion with a clear purpose and a clear question regarding the role and status of women in Islam, and specifically at that time in Medina. And so she addresses the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in front of all of these male sahaba, and she begins by saying, "Bi abi anta wa ummi, may my father and my mother be sacrificed for you, ya Rasulullah. Inni wafidatun nisa'i ilayk." And then she says, "And I have come to you as the representative of the women in Medina. Wa'alam nafsi lakal fida'u." And then she says, "Know that my life is for you, ya Rasulullah." So she's prefacing her question to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by sort of assuring the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that whatever she is about to say or complain about, that she is more than ready to accept whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will decree in the end. And so Sayyida Asma radiallahu anha continues, and she says that there is no woman in the East or West that doesn't hold the same opinion as me. And this is the opinion that I want to share with you, ya Rasulullah. And she says, "Inna Allaha ba'athaka bil haqqi ila rijali wa nisa'i." She says, "Indeed, Allah has sent you with the truth to the men and the women." "Fa'amanna bika wa bi ilahika alladhi arsalaka." And we believe in you, and we believe in the God who sent you. "Wa inna ma'shara an-nisa'i mahsuratun maqsurat qawa'idu buyutikum wa maqda shahwatikum wa hamilatu awladikum." And then she says, "And we the women, we are limited to the following. We take care of your homes, we take care of the needs of our husbands, we take care and raise your children. Wa innakum ma'ashira rijali fuddiltum alayna bil jum'a wal jama'at wa 'iyadati al marda wa shuhud al janaiz wa hajj ba'd al hajj." And then she's basically saying, whereas the men amongst you have been given some sort of preference or privilege over us to go from jum'a to jum'a, to pray in jama'a with you, ya Rasulullah, to get to visit the sick and go to their janazah, and they go from one hajj to another hajj. وَأَفْضَلُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And then she says, and what's even better than all of that is they get to go and do jihad in the way of Allah. They get to go to battle with you, ya Rasulullah. وَإِنَّ الرَّجُلَ مِنْكُمْ إِذَا أُخْرِجَ حَاجَ أَوْ مُعْتَمِرَ وَمُرَابِطَ حَفِذْنَا لَكُمْ أَمْوَالَكُمْ وَغَزَلْنَا لَكُمْ أَثْوَابًا وَرَبَّيْنَا لَكُمْ أَوْلَادَكُمْ. And then she continues even more, and she says, "And when the men go out to perform Hajj or Umrah or Jihad, we are the ones who stay behind and protect for them their wealth, spin for them their garments, and raise for them their children." So she's saying that my complaint to you is this. فَمَا نُشَارِكُكُمْ فِي الْأَجْرِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. She says, "Do we not get a share of this reward, ya Rasulullah?" These men, they are reaping all of the rewards of all of these great deeds. And can't we share this ajr with them? Again, she's saying this whilst the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sitting amongst exactly those men. And so, what was the response of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? فَالْتَفَتَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِلَىٰ أَصْحَابِهِ بِوَجْهِهِ كُلِّهِ. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned to his companions with his entire face. So he's looking at all of his companions, almost analyzing their emotions, and then he says to them, ثُمَّ قَالْ هَلْ سَمِعْتُمْ مَقَالَةَ إِمْرَأَةٍ قَطُّ أَحْسَنَ مِنْ مَسْأَلَتِهَا فِي أَمْرِ دِينِهَا مِنْ هَذِهِ. And then he asks his companions, have you ever heard a woman give a more beautiful speech about her religion than what this woman just gave? And then the companions, they respond, فَقَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا ظَنَنَّا أَنَّ إِمْرَأَةً تَهْتَدِي إِلَى مِثْلِ هَذَا. And they replied, O Messenger of Allah, we never thought a woman could be so guided to something like this. فَالْتَفَتَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِلَيْهَا ثُمَّ قَالَ. And then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم turned back to Sayyida Asma, and he says to her, انصرفي أيتها المرأة وأعلمي من خلفك من النساء أن حسن تباعل إحداكن لزوجها وطلبها مرضاته واتباعها موافقته تعدل ذلك كله. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replies to Sayyida Asma, go back and inform the women behind you, the women that you represent, that when they are staying at home and fulfilling the rights of their husband and seeking their pleasure and following their approval, just know that they will have all of the reward and all of that ajr that you are speaking about. It equals all of that. فَأَدْبَرَتِ الْمَرْأَى وَهِيَ تُهَلِّلُ وَتُكَبِّرُ إِسْتِبْشَارًا. And then Sayyida Asma radiallahu anha, upon hearing this, turned around and she rejoiced. And she started saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. So there are a few lessons here. The main one that I want to highlight here is that the women of Medina essentially wanted a reward or wanted a share of the reward that the men receive from fulfilling all of those commands and obligations that the Prophet ﷺ was laying out for them. They weren't after the position or the jobs or the positions of the men. They wanted simply the contentment of Allah and the Messenger ﷺ. They wanted the peace of mind that when they are at home and not on the battlefield, and when they are fulfilling the needs of their husbands and not visiting the sick or attending the janazah, and when they are feeding and nurturing the children and not in the mosque, praying in jama'ah with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they are not in any way neglecting their Islamic duties or not fulfilling the commands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They just wanted to know that when they are raising their children and nurturing them in their homes, that they aren't by any means overlooking or neglecting what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has commanded for his people to do. Because of course in Medina at that time, this was the time when all the legal ahkamat, all the Quranic commands were being revealed to fight in the way of Allah and paradise will be a reward. And they were listening and they were aware. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would explain to his people that every Muslim has a right over their brother or sister to visit them when they are sick, to attend the janazah when they pass away. And they also now know how much more the reward is for praying in jama'ah than praying alone. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he knew that this was actually the real concern of the women. They were not feeling left out. And they weren't asking this question because they hated being at home and cooking and slaving away, bearing child after child. That wasn't really what they were complaining about. In fact, what was burdening the women of Medina was, are we doing enough to please Allah? And are we neglecting these fundamental obligations? And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's response here is very important. He gives the women that assurance that surely they are not missing out on any reward. In fact, the work that they do for their families, the work that they do to raise their children is equal to jihad fi sabilillah, It is equal to praying in salah with jama'ah. It is equal to going for hajj after hajj, for jummah after jummah. And so Sayyidah Asma radiallahu anha also didn't respond further or comment further by saying, well, does that mean we still have to stay at home? And because that was not their real concern. That was not actually her concern. And she was not just happy at the response of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was in fact rejoicing. She was praising Allah Almighty. And that goes to show that the intention behind the women's concerns were not anything else but to know that what they were doing was still pleasing Allah Azza wa Jal, and it was still honourable in His court of mercy. Now, of course, we have so many examples of great sahabiyat who lived very public lives, who participated in battle and so forth. So the reply of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not necessarily a negation of that. It is not prohibiting women, and it's not saying that women should remain in the home. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was commending those women, appreciating those women, and giving them this glad tiding and this wondrous news that their hard work in the home is equally as important and equally rewarded. And another important lesson that we learn from not just this incident, but the life of Sayyidah Asma radiallahu anha, is the lesson of courage. Having the courage and conviction to seek knowledge. And I say that she is courageous because as Muslims, there is always a sense of fear and anxiety that follows the act of seeking knowledge. Either we feel that seeking knowledge is a burden, or we don't have the time of day to seek knowledge, or some women feel as though the burden to learn the religion, to learn the classical Islamic sciences and tasawwuf and Arabic is on the men or the male ulama, and they should be the ones to teach us. Or generally, as Muslims, we fear that the more we know, the more we will be held accountable for. Or if we know too much, then it would somehow restrict our lives that much more. In fact, it is quite the opposite. Sayyidah Asma radiallahu anha came into the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and commented on the role of women. And it was a kind of complaint, and that is not easy, it takes courage. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't object to her. He didn't respond harshly or enforce greater measures for women to remain in the private sphere. Instead, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam applauded her courage, the eloquence with which she spoke, and then he enjoined the men to praise her commitment to her deen, to her religion. And then, of course, he gave the glad tidings to the women about their equal share in the ajr. So if we seek knowledge with the correct intention, with the niyyah to only seek for the sake of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the outcome will always be worthwhile. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.